I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamlin, Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil. On the ones and twos. Underdog did not go as well yesterday for me.
Yeah, we didn't have the same response that we had the day before.
Yeah, no, and that's tough. That's tough for us. Download the Underdog app. You don't even have to sign up to just look at the stat projections with us. But we'd love for you to play along. If you do sign up, use the promo code KYLEM. All right. So yesterday we had Zach LaVine higher than 20.5 points. I didn't get there. Finished at 14. We had Jimmy Butler lower than half a three-point made. Yeah, nailed it. Didn't even attempt one.
Mm. Why would he?
Yeah.
When you got Quentin Post and Draymond Green and Guy Santos.
You're not going to not let Guy and QP get their shots up.
Moses Moody and... Yeah. Gary
Moses
Payton
Moody's
the second.
Hooper, Moses Moody's a good player.
All those guys just hitting all those threes.
Draymond Green higher than 6.5 assists? No, why would you pass it when you're wide open in the corner? And then Keon Ellis, 1.5 steals. I thought I saw him have 2 steals, but no, he's only credited with 1.
Oh, boo. So,
1 for 4 on that lineup. That's not a winner. But we're back on the horse. It's my favorite. I've got action on the NBA every night.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
That's something. Yeah, I always kind of pick a game and try and lock into it. Or if there's like an earlier game and a later game I like, I'll match those in a lineup mm-hmm. so I can just focus on each. So when the Kings are playing, though, you obviously know that I'm dialed into the Kings game. Here's what I'm looking at tonight. Kevin Durant made 3s. 2.5 is the number. And I'm leaning... Oh, wait. Did they take him off? What the heck?
Uh-oh.
I wonder if there's injury stuff happening with Phoenix, and so they're changing their... Okay, we'll just do the Kings ones for now. Zach LaVine, 20.5 points.
Okay.
Is this a situation where we're going to look at Zach LaVine, and we're going to go, we're going higher until he hits it because he's due? Or are we going, he's taken 16 shots his last 2 games. We're going to keep riding that wave. And go lower than the 20.5.
The problem that you have is that even though he took 10 shots the one game, he scored 17. And the next night, he took 6 shots and still scored, 14 last night?
Right.
So all he has to do is take like 12 shots and he's going to get to 20.5. That's the problem. And I don't know.
I'm going higher. I think this is a spot where Doug or whatever player is going to be like, bro, you were brought here to put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah.
Just go do that.
I think it's tough. Like, it doesn't make any sense. When you look at his games, all of his games throughout the season, like, most of the low shot attempt games he's had has been with the Kings.
Okay.
You know, every once in a while he had a bad game when he was with Chicago where he didn't shoot a ton of balls. But at this point, like, why would you take 6 shots? Why would you take 10 shots? Like, everybody in the building knows you're pretty much, if not the best offensive player on the court, you're one of the like top 2,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the teams.
Yep.
Like, it's like Steph Curry and then it's Zach LaVine last
yep.
night.
Yep.
There was no one else. Like, Jimmy Butler's nowhere near as good offensively anymore as Zach LaVine.
Nope.
It's just, to me, it's really, really strange that that's kind of the path that that the Kings have chosen, and that they aren't just making him shoot.
Yep.
Like, if I'm his teammates, I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Pick it up now.
Yeah.
Like, do you need me to set a different screen? Do we need to do a double screen?
Yep.
To get you free? Whatever it is. Man, you're 4-4 from three.
Yep.
How about you go 8-8 from three?
Yeah.
Or how about you go 8-12 from three?
Sure.
We don't care if you miss half of the next eight shots. That's fine.
Yeah.
Shoot them, please. But no.
I think it's going to happen tonight.
Okay. I'm with you.
He's going to have like 18 or 20 field goal attempts. And if he does that, I like him to go higher than 20.5 points. What about Keegan Murray? I'm looking at 17.5 points and rebounds.
Ooh.
Keegan's scary because he might score 17 points, but he also might score like 8. And then you need him to get 10 boards, which I don't love. But can I get 12 and 6?
12, so it's 18.
Yeah, is the number 17.5. Yeah, 18 would be the number I'm trying to get to.
Okay, and what has he done against Phoenix this season? So if we're looking at the games against Phoenix, we got a 17-4 game, so that's 21, and a 14-14 game. So I say higher.
We're going higher?
We're going higher.
Love it. Okay, very good. And then Malik Monk. I'm looking at 2.5 turnovers.
Ooh, that seems low.
Right? Especially if he's looking tonight and going, I need to be back at distributing. I need to stop putting the ball up. It's better for us if I'm a distributor.
Yeah.
I need him to dribble one off his foot and throw a couple away.
That and, I mean, the other guy I would look at is Sabonis turnovers, because Sabonis against Plumlee turns the ball over a ton.
Okay.
This is a pretty good turnover team, if I'm not mistaken, the Suns.
I've got Domas at 2.5 turnovers as well.
Yeah, but if he doesn't play, that's the problem.
Yeah, but if he doesn't play, thanks to Underdog with their pick'em game, he just gets removed from your lineup.
No, that's true. And as long as you have someone on another team, you're okay. Yeah, boy. Sabonis, if I'm not mistaken, in the games against Phoenix this season, has turned the ball over a ton.
Okay.
I'm going to look right now, and just to make sure that we're on the same page here. Phoenix, go all the way down to Phoenix, and then I've got to look up turnovers. Turnovers. Then, yeah, I was right.
And then is it a lot? How many is it?
7-6.
Okay, yeah. So we're going higher on 2.5 turnovers for Domas, but then you need players from more than one team.
Okay.
So I'm jumping up to the Lakers-Denver game, and I just want to root for Nikola Jokic, and he's 50.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
Oh, do it.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Okay, great.
More.
Yeah, I'm going higher on that. All right, there's our lineup. Very
there
good.
You go.
Nailed it. I can't wait for Underdog with March college basketball, bro.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Because the first day is a Thursday, right?
Okay.
So there's going to be games on while we're in here, and I'm going to have lineups flying. I'm going to be super annoying on the radio.
I wonder if we can do the quad.
There's people like you always are.
The quad.
We have to be able to. It's YouTube TV.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're allowed to plug that. Anyways, download the Underdog app, sign up now using the promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credits when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus credits instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Void where prohibited. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. He's James Hamm.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Joe Brazil. And the Kings play the Suns tonight down in Phoenix, down in the desert. And you've said it's not a big game.
I don't want to say it's not a big game. I think at this point, every game is... You know, you would like to see them win as many games as possible. Mm-hmm. And if you lose this game, you're in all kinds of trouble. But I also don't think that there's any way for this team not to be in the play-in. There just isn't enough competition now at the back end of the Western Conference. Now, I look at next week's schedule and I can see this Kings team losing a bunch of games in a row. Like,
sure.
We talked about it yesterday. Doug Christie, the Kings under Doug Christie had not lost three games in a row. Now they have. You know, that was the first three-game losing streak during Doug's tenure here. Mm-hmm. And I saw someone say, oh, you know, they need to have like a conversation with the team. Doug needs to do the rah-rah speech again. It's like, hey, look, those things, you can't go back to the well on those again and again.
Yep.
They've already had two of them.
Yep.
And like, we're at a point where it's like, hey, you have to just move forward.
Yep.
Like, you have to go out there and play better. That's it. You know?
At some point, that's what it comes down to. Like, I know we always look at coaching, but players have to play.
Yeah.
Players have to execute. So, I mean, Doug can only do so much.
No, I totally agree. Now, if it's a schematic thing, like I think last night was, if it was a choice to play the way that they did, where they left the corner threes wide open, with lower percentage three-point shooters, like not horrible three-point shooters, but lower percentage three-point shooters.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the plan last night, then yeah, I think some of it can be game plan cost you.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like tonight, that's not who this Phoenix Suns team is. This Suns team is a holy mess. I mean, what have they lost? Like 11 of 13 or something.
Yeah.
It's something like maybe it's 11 of 15. They've lost three in a row.
11 of 15.
Yeah.
Two in a row, 11 of 15.
Okay. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, they're in a bad spot. And yeah, so, like, if I'm the Kings, I'm coming out here looking for some retribution from last night's loss. You got to have a get-right game, mm-hmm. right? Because they haven't had one in a while. And, you know, the Kings have lost, what, 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5?
Yep.
Yeah, it's not good.
Let's get to keys to victory. James Hamm, key number one.
Let's see. Key number one for me is force feed Zach LaVine. I need 20 shots, Kyle. I need 20. I don't care how you get there. You have to tell Zach LaVine, dude, enough. Like, we're not doing a philosophical vacation in the middle of the stretch run. There is no way in any world that you can take 16 shots over two games.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's all it takes to beat the Kings... is to basically do what the Kings tried to do to Steph Curry last night.
Mm-hmm.
If you just throw two guys at Zach LaVine and the game's over, well, that's bad.
Yeah, you know? You have a way bigger problem than losing to Phoenix at that point.
Yes. Whether Zach is shooting the three or he's going to the rim, I don't care. He needs to show up and he needs to take 20 shots.
Yep. That's what it comes down to. I'm right there with you. Number one for me, I forgot to write them down in our... thing, so defend Jimmy Butler is not my first key.
Okay.
you do, however, have to defend one-on-one.
Yes.
That at some point you have to be able to slide your feet and keep somebody in front of you. And it can't be double KD. Okay, you got rid of him. Oh, it's Devin Booker. We got a double Devin Booker now. Like, nope. You got to defend one-on-one.
Yeah, they have too many players that you have to, you know, in theory, double team. Now, that means you can probably run a little bit of zone.
Mm-hmm.
Their bench is going to be super soft.
Mm-hmm.
And like you can probably, once they start taking guys like KD or or Booker off the court, or if they take both of them off the court, mm-hmm. like they don't have anyone else that can score. So that's when I could see you going to a zone and like really lining up. But when their stars are on the court, you got to play a man up the best you can. And you got to help each other for sure. Like rotate.
Team defense matters.
Yeah. But that doesn't change the fact that like the Kings have enough healthy defenders that they can probably give them a little bit of a panic here.
Yeah.
And like, look, if that means that Jake LaRavia steals your minutes and you go with, you know, the Keon, Keegan, and Jake LaRavia lineup to like get yourself more defensive versatility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That works for me. Like figure out how to do it. Like figure out how to stop these guys.
Yep. We have the same number two ish. What's your number two?
Let's see. Oh, try to get Malik back in the flow.
Yeah, you need PG Malik tonight.
Yeah, he just has not, like...
Point guard, not like, not cursing.
Yeah.
Point guard Malik.
What you need from him is, if Domas plays, get him in five or six pick and rolls and let him feed Domas. Yep. And just let him get a rhythm back for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then off of that, I guarantee you he will start to create for himself.
Yep.
He'll start finding ways to make other players better. But you have to start with the basics with him and get him back in the flow of the game.
Yep. That's it, man. You can't let him aimlessly run around and like, am I a point guard? Am I a scorer? What's my job here? Because if I get it up, I'm not giving it back. So how does this... It doesn't matter, dude. Get in the pick and roll, distribute. That's got to be job number one for him on this team. We talked about the overlapping parts and guys needing to take on different roles.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for Malik.
I totally agree. Number three, did we have the same number two?
Yeah, we had the same number two.
Okay. Defend the three, like, please, someone. Don't leave the corner wide open.
There's going to be looks where, hey, you rotated, they get to... Get somebody running. Get that person who's shooting the three in their peripheral, something moving toward them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they make it still. But it's a lot easier when you get to stand in the corner and treat it literally like pregame warmups.
That's what it was. I mean, the whole entire game.
The lack of effort was to close out was insane on some of those.
They didn't even try on so many occasions. Yep. It was like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Like, because I know one of Mike's principles was it's the second and third effort.
Yep.
It's not just the first effort.
Yep.
You got to go chase the second effort. You got to chase. I didn't even see a first effort from some of those guys.
You saw on the other end of the floor, again, Steph Curry, not a great defender, but every time he is near a three-point shooter, he runs at him with a hand up. That's the best shooter of all time because he knows that, hey, that can affect a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody running at him with a hand up. A little more effort on that end.
Please.
Please. Number three for me, who's the other guy who's going to light it up tonight? Who are you? Keon Ellis was really good last night. The Kings didn't get enough from their starting group. But if you're getting a better game from Zach LaVine and you're getting an effective game from Malik Monk and you're getting an effective game from DeMar DeRozan, who's going to be that other piece that helps kind of lift you when the bench unit's on the floor? Going to be Jake LaRavia? Is it going to be Keon Ellis? Is it a big Trey Lyles night? You need one other guy to do a little bit of scoring.
Yeah, I mean, so last night they got 42 points off the bench from Ellis, LaRavia, and Lyles combined. Like, that's really good. If you can get that, like, on any given night, you're going to win most of those times, you would think.
Yep.
So somebody else is going to have to step up. It's second night of the back-to-back. Mm-hmm. Even though the guys didn't play 47 minutes or 45 minutes like they did the last on Sunday when you had a back-to-back, that doesn't change the calculus. You're still looking at... not only playing a game, but then getting on a plane and flying to Phoenix. But like there's no time for excuses or no time for reasons or anything else. You have to go play and you have to beat a team that's bad and losing and has no interest in being there.
That's what it comes down to, man. All right. I have a question for tonight's game that I had for last night's game. And I think Doug Christie answered it after last night's game. We'll talk about that. And are we still scoreboard watching? We might dive into it. He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil's here. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
Home.
Sac Hoop updates on ESPN 1320 are brought to you by Capital Casino, Sacramento's number one poker room, featuring breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the Capital Cafe and Restaurant. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Joe Brazil behind the glass. James Hamm is there. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Kings and Suns tonight in Phoenix. Oh, no. My pen broke. Oh, never mind. It's been broke. Never mind. We're good.
You're okay?
A piece of pen that broke off that I reattached haphazardly fell off.
Well, it's good you have glasses. Protective glasses.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why I wear these. People are like, blue light blocking? And I'm like, no. Pen, little clippy
shards of,
thing blocking.
Shards of pen flying at you. Potentially hitting you in the eye.
We'll just have this conversation again. Doug Christie, after last night's game, got asked by a friend of the station, Matt George, ABC10, about, hey, we make any changes to the starting lineup, given that you've lost three in a row and you've looked pretty bad in the last two? Here's Doug's answer.
No, because we've won a lot of games with Malik in that position. I think that injuries and like when you guys look at it as like this present iteration of what happened, and what you got to understand is that before Domas got hurt, before Malik got hurt, they were starting to find their way as a unit. And once a guy gets hurt, you bring him back, you got to trust them. You got to let them find their game. And it's unfortunate that it's happened at this time. We're going to go the same thing if Domas plays tomorrow. We're going to, you know, he's going to play his minutes, and it's a possibility that he's rusty. It's a possibility that the flow is not there. Like, those are things that happen that are you can't necessarily control. But what you do have to do is you have to trust your guys. They've put in a lot of work. They deserve that opportunity, because when they are playing at a high level, it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, I'm out.
I mean,
first of all, you go ahead first. I'm sorry. I don't want to.
Okay. So look,
you go ahead.
The only way out of this is with Malik Monk finding his game and Domantas Sabonis back on the court and being Domantas Sabonis.
Sure.
That's the only way out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is no alternative universe where, again, like we can say Keon Ellis and Jonas Valanciunas are now your starting shooting guard and your starting center, and we're not going to play the other guys because they're not in rhythm with everybody now. Like, the only way out of this thing, the only way that you're a good team a week from now, 2 weeks from now, and have any shot to win a play-in game is if Malik Monk looks more like Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis is back on the court
sure.
dealing. And so I get what Doug is saying is, like, we almost don't have a choice. We have to go put these guys out there. Because the only way we get out of this, the only way we get back to who we are, is if we get, if we have these guys playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can be a decent team or a team that scrambles and might be able to pick up a win or two here and there if we don't have those guys playing. But in order for us to be who we were before and who we might be moving forward is if we have these guys rolling. And so you're going to take some hits because of it.
The issue I have with this response is that this is not exclusive to since Domas and Malik got hurt. Hey, maybe try Keon Ellison. Like, no, this has been a thing.
Yeah.
This has been a thing for a while. And when you come out against the Knicks and he gets smoked in the first quarter, and then you come out against Golden State and he gets smoked in the first quarter, and part of the reason he got smoked in the first quarter is because you didn't have Keon Ellis to follow Steph around, so you had to do a bunch of weird stuff and, like, doubling. Let's remove. I am with all the reasons that you quote unquote can't make this change now. I got it. You got a Hall of Famer in DeMar DeRozan. You got a $43 million dude and Zach LaVine and Malik Monk used to come off the bench and now he starts and so he can't go back to the bench. Toothpaste out of the tube, etc. I got it. But just fundamentally, your starting lineup, the pieces fit together better if Keon Ellis starts at the shooting guard position instead of Malik Monk. Or I guess point guard, technically.
Yeah.
Now he's not bringing the ball up the floor. That'll be LaVine. That'll be DeMar. We know that.
He brought it up quite a bit last night.
Yeah, but you just need to get the ball across the timeline, get in the offense. And preferably if Domas is there, it's quickly getting it to Domas. But, like, the pieces just fit together better. Malik Monk is a vastly superior offensive player to Keon Ellis. I will give anybody that. That is not in question. But when you start talking about how do these players work, and we talk about all these overlapping parts, a lot of players that do the right stuff, we have proof positive that Malik is awesome off the bench.
No, I totally agree.
And we have this issue where you have a bunch of conflicting offensive pieces when he's in your starting lineup. You have 16 games here. And it's like, yeah, we're going to get him on the court and let him figure it out. Domas might be rusty when he comes back. Like, okay, so that's good. Now we're down to 15 games. How many games do I need? How many more games do I need to gel? Are we going to get to 7 games left in the year? And it's like, man, hey, they're in a fight for the 10 seed. It's like, yeah, but hey, starting lineup's starting to look better, huh?
Yeah. I'm with you. It's tough.
They make so much more sense.
They do, but it's
constructed that way.
It's never that as simple as that.
I know it. I know that.
And it's, I mean, really, these, and a lot of these decisions, they're not even in Doug Christie's hands. He can say, I can make whatever decision, but really?
Yikes.
Because that's not the way this typically works. And when this decision was made originally to put Malik Monk into the starting lineup, it was not a full-fledged coaching decision. It was an organizational decision. Did Mike Brown have a say in that? Of course, he had a say in it. But was he the only one who had a say in it? Absolutely not. And
I wonder what Jeremy Lamb thinks.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Salute to Sam Amick in The Athletic.
Kyle. Yeah. Yeah, and just to get back to the point at hand, like,
please, sorry,
when Malik Monk got hurt, right? The Kings said they were in the middle of a 4-game win streak.
Mm.
Now again, we can go back to it. It's Charlotte, Utah, Houston, and Dallas, right? It's not great, and for that matter, Malik Monk wasn't great in any of those games. 13, 13, 16, and 13 points. As soon as he went out, they lost 2 out of 3. And as he's come back, they've really struggled to get back on the right path, even though he had a solid first game back, 7 of 18 from the field. They're still, like, getting him back fully. It should be trying to work him into the system and try to find himself again. Like, that is still your best opportunity to win. And like, whether it's off the bench or it's as a starter, it doesn't matter. You still need Malik Monk for 30 plus minutes a night, and he has to be right. Because what we saw last night was a player who just did not look right physically at all. And, you know, not only does he have a toe issue, but now he's wearing a leg sleeve. He's not moving well at all. His jump shot is coming up short, like nonstop. You know, the 3-point shot last night, 0 for 5. Like, these are problems that you're going to run into with a player who transitions from a 26-minute per game guy to a 35-minute per game guy in the middle of a season. And, you know, again, I think there's a lot of work that can be done here, but I'm also not anti-Malik Monk as my starting point guard next season. It's just you
really?
Well, I don't know. If you have someone better, okay. But someone better to me, I don't believe is Keon Ellis.
No, no doubt. That was not, I'm sorry, that was a reaction to a different, I think one of the things you'd look to do this offseason, not to spin us too far ahead, is to find somebody who can be the point guard so Malik Monk doesn't have to do that.
Okay.
Like, where he can slide over, he can even start still, and he can slide over to the shooting guard spot.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard rumors of the possibility of the Kings chasing player X, planes, you know, whatever. But at the same time, you know, we went from a 2-year stretch where, like, please get them length and athleticism at the wings. Please, please, please. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you really need a backup center as well. Now we're to the point where it's like, okay, you need all of that stuff. You don't need the backup center anymore. You still need length and athleticism at the wings. And, oh, you also need a starting point guard. That's tough.
That's really tough.
Like, I think tonight you're going to look at, Tyus Jones. If I'm the Kings, I'm looking at Tyus Jones and saying, hey, is there a way to get Tyus Jones on this roster next year? Because he might be a player that could help you in this situation. And is he going to be a game changer? No, but he could help balance the roster again.
That's it.
And I've said it the whole time.
Making
like,
the pieces fit together better.
Yeah.
Need connectors.
It's so funny because for so long, I was like the lone holdout that was saying, do not start Malik. Do not start Malik. Mm-hmm. You never start your best five players. Everybody says it. Mike Brown said it like very specifically. You start your best five players. And if your best five players get beat, where do you go from there?
Right.
That's your best. That's the best you got.
Right.
So like as the holdout there, it's like, okay, that you can't do it. The minute you did it, it's like, all right, well, first of all, he had run out of options. Mike Brown had. His team was not playing well, and he'd run out of options, and he was trying to find something, right? Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, once you make that move, it was, I told you then, it was like, okay, it's over now.
Yep.
He's your starting shooting guard or starting point guard for the next 4 years, most likely, unless they change management and unless they change the head coach. Or if they change management and management has a big enough say in what's happening to say, no, Malik Monk, the only way we're doing this moving forward is if Malik Monk's in the starting lineup. I mean, is not in the starting lineup if he's coming off the bench and going back to the six-man role.
Sure.
And hey, like, look, you have a disaster of a season like this. There's nothing that says Malik Monk will be on this roster next year.
It's fair.
The same. I can say the same about, you know, potentially Domantas Sabonis. I can say the same thing about like almost every single player on this roster. I could say there's a really good chance that you're going to hear their name mentioned this summer.
That's the, like, there's always been a lot of urgency here just because this was 2 years removed from their last playoff trip. And it really felt like, okay, big time change is coming if this doesn't go right. We've already seen two with Mike Brown leaving or getting fired. And De'Aaron Fox asking out. That's the other like key part of all this is you just, Sam Amick wrote it in The Athletic. And there's talk that Domantas Sabonis is going to have the same conversation with the front office that De'Aaron Fox did.
Yep.
Every step down the road toward one play-in game and out that this takes, or even two play-in games and out that this takes, you get further down the path of Domantas Sabonis having a really tough conversation with your front office. And frankly, DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan said it before De'Aaron Fox got traded.
Yeah.
Like, if he gets dealt, I got to rethink what I'm doing here. That's where this is all. Now, if you find a way into the playoffs, if you find a way to win a round, okay, maybe this looks different. But that seems so far off now.
Oh, it is especially after the last two games. It feels like we're talking about like such pie in the sky craziness way off in the distance.
And it's like this is the time of year where the teams that are going to make runs need to start playing their best basketball. This is the time of year where you go, hey, you really got a lot. Like, everybody's locking in this point. This is where the games get real. You're fighting for seeding. You're fighting for playing spots. You're fighting for playoff spots. And we're still trying to figure out if the Kings have the right starting five.
Yeah.
Hey, not a good place to be in.
Like, I see, like, in the chat, I'm going to pull this up from O'Brien? I don't know.
O'Brien? I'm going with O'Brien.
O'Brien, okay.
The dog wearing glasses.
Yeah, you definitely start your best players, but you also got to build a roster that makes sense. I have been around, I think Doug Christie is my ninth in NBA head coach, either ninth or tenth. I'd have to go back now. It's too many to count.
It's a lot.
Almost every single one of them has had the same exact theory that you do not start your best five players, especially your best five offensive players, like your five best offensive players. You never do that. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, the person that taught me that the first time was Paul Westphal. And not only did Paul Westphal believe in that fully as a coach, but mostly it was because he believed in it as a player, because that's who he was as a player. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most dynamic, ambidextrous players in the league for years. And most of his career came off the bench, including in his first couple of years of his career when he played for the Boston Celtics at the end of their incredible run and had incredible coaches that were saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we need a fifth guy coming in that can do something, a guy coming in off the bench that can do something that can change what's happening on the court.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, was there a time where, you know, Bobby Jackson was a better option at the shooting guard position or point guard position for the Sacramento Kings than the other players they had, what, like pre-Doug Christie and, you know, not when Mike, but when Mike Bibby got hurt? Yeah, Bobby Jackson was one of the best five players on that team. Of course he should start. Never started. Rick Adelman never started him because that's the design. The design is that you have a great six man that can change the complexity of a game, bring a different energy, change what's happening on the court, give you another pitch. And that's exactly why Malik Monk makes a lot of sense. And it's why I told you at the trade deadline, if you're going to do this, then go get another Malik Monk. Go find somebody else that plays like him that can bring that energy
shift
off the bench as an offensive player. I think Jake LaRavia brings that as a defensive player. I think Keon Ellis brings it as a defensive player, but you don't have that
dynamic enough offensively.
Yeah, you don't have that dynamic offensive player coming off the bench that can make some noise.
Yeah, and the other thing that O'Brien? We're going with O'Brien? O'Brien?
O'Brien?
I'm going with O'Brien.
Okay.
But they also made the point that the roster just has to fit together better, and I agree. But
that doesn't change the six-man idea.
No, right, and this, I'm going to support your point here. If the Kings had a roster that fit better together, it would make way more sense for Malik Monk to come off the bench.
Of course. Yes.
Like, there would be zero doubt. But right now, it looks dire. It's like, dude, you got to win games. You need to get your best dudes out there, and you just got to figure it out. It's like, but you don't. Because Zach LaVine and Malik Monk and DeMar DeRozan do not fit. Those three players fundamentally do not fit together. We are watching it on a night-in, night-out basis. And sometimes Malik hits a bunch of shots, or sometimes DeMar DeRozan hits a bunch of shots, or sometimes Zach LaVine's going to go 8 of 9 from 3. And it's like, see, it works. It's like, no, the dude just made his shots that night and had an incredible individual night. That doesn't mean the offense is cohesive. There's a version of this roster that can work, and I think one step toward that is making Keon a starter, and that just make everything starts to fall into place a little bit better, because now there's a little less overlap. And then once you bring Malik in off the bench, he has a defined role. This is what you're doing. You don't have to worry about being a starting point guard. You have to worry about feeding DeMar and feeding LaVine and getting everybody their shots. Like, nope, you are the sixth man. You're the microwave scorer. You're going to get in the pick and roll with Domas, and you're going to go do your Malik thing.
Yeah.
And be awesome at that. And well, I think if they did that, I think they'd have start having more success, and it would just make a lot more sense. And we'd go, wow, the roster does make more sense.
And to back your point, you talked about last night how the Golden State Warriors, they put Steph Curry on Keegan Murray.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because they think, well, Keegan is the only, he's just a shooter now.
Yeah, they don't believe that Keegan is going to take advantage of the mismatch.
Exactly. Now, if you reverse that, which player on the Kings would you put on that level of player? If it were the Kings and the other team had the Keegan Murray and you're going to go hide a player, who would you hide on Keegan Murray? Because that's what they're doing with Steph. They're hiding him on Keegan Murray.
Right.
Right. So who would you hide? Would you hide DeMar DeRozan? Would you hide Malik Monk? Would you hide Zach LaVine on the defensive end?
You have to pick one.
Well, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You just lost.
Yep.
That realistically mm-hmm. is a problem. You just lost because you have three players that you have to hide on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Game over.
Yep.
On one side of the court, you're playing 5-on-3.
Yep.
Most nights.
Yep. It's a tough spot to be in, man. We'll get... I don't know. We got the handoff coming up.
Are we negative?
Sunshine, rainbows, coming up next on The Insiders. James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil, Jiffy Lube. Back in a second.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I decided we're scoreboard watching.
We are scoreboard
watching? Yeah, yeah, why not? Like, at least, because look, here's how this all goes. I don't think the Kings are going to, like, win handily tonight. They might win. I think Phoenix is favored by 3.5.
Are they really?
Yeah. But if the Kings win and the Clippers lose to the Hawks, oh, you gained a game, you're 3.5 back. Or excuse me, you're a game and a half back of the 8th seed. Like, okay, hey, maybe you can start to, like, it just starts with one single start rallies, as we used to say in travel ball. I played travel ball, not to brag.
Okay.
Clippers at Hawks. Very obviously rooting for the Hawks. Just need these teams in front of the Kings to start losing.
And the Hawks are still hanging tough, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been playing well.
Yeah. I mean, they've got no reason to quit.
No. They're the 7th seed in the East right now.
Yeah. Especially their first round pick belongs to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, they have no reason to tank.
Yeah, they
And they just have good players. Like they got they're the 7 seed. They're 4.5. Yeah, they're 4.5 back of my Detroit Pistons. Pistons lost to the Wizards last night, by the way.
Oh no.
I've been touting the Detroit Pistons all year. Ugh. It's a tough look. You can't lose to the Wizards. So that's an easy one. Rooting for the Hawks tonight. Let's go Ice Trey. Lawrence Butler's favorite team. Mavs at Rockets. You got to pull with the Rockets there. You need that 10 seed to get as separated as far as humanly possible.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Because we're not even talking 6 seed. I couldn't care less about the 5. You're 7.5 back of that right now.
Oh, no, that's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, any of that talk is over.
Yeah. So need the Rockets to beat the Mavs. That's an easy one. And then Magic at Timberwolves. I don't know. Timberwolves currently the 7.
Yeah, you'd hope
to get them to lose to Orlando. And
yeah. I think the Timberwolves are a team, you know, again, you're now 4 games back of the Timberwolves and only 3 in the loss column.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's one that you could actually potentially, I mean, if you're a Kings fan, you should be hoping that somehow they wake up and they climb up to the number 7 spot.
Right, right.
Right.
Because if you run into 4 wins in a row here.
Yeah, because the 6 is pretty much out of reach. I think the 5-6 are totally out of reach at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But can you get to the 7? Because then you get a home play-in game. But then I go to the schedule, and hey, we got Casey here.
Yeah, Kenny Gray. Time for the handoff.
Yeah. So after tonight, you got Phoenix tonight. Then it's Grizzlies, Cavs. You got a game against Chicago. Bucks, Celtics, Thunder. I got one win in that.
Chicago, Milwaukee, Celtics, Thunder?
Well, no. Memphis, Cavs.
Oh.
Bulls, Bucks, Celtics, Thunder.
Ugh.
What do you think, Casey?
You better find a way to get two.
At least.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to get two. Like I said the whole time, like you're playing these teams or whatever that are top flight in the league, you got an opportunity to earn your way in. Like if you can't beat them, then you can't beat them. And you probably won't be where you're trying to get anyway.
Exactly.
So, I know there's usually a contrast between how we look at it as observers, as fans, as media members, and how they have to look at it as players and coaches.
No doubt.
And, yeah, they all right, yeah, it's tough, but find a way. Mm-hmm. Find a way. You got them at the crib, too. So find a way. I don't care if it's the Cavs or the Bulls or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find a way because you said it earlier, James. The league ain't stopping for you. Ain't nobody feeling sorry for you because you got a tough schedule.
Nope. Yeah.
So when they get into that practice gym or today is shoot around or whatever, you better find a way to get over yesterday and get ready to win a game today.
That's it. So. Are you do you have any reason for optimism here?
Optimism in what way?
With the Kings? Like you say, like here's what because we always try and caveat. I don't feel great about where they're at, but you play games. They're NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you win four in a row here. Like that's just a thing that can happen. That's why they play the sport, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe win four in a row, and maybe they go on a little run here, and this all looks silly, the reaction today after getting beat last night. Maybe this all looks silly. But logically or realistically, I don't have any reason to believe that's going to happen.
So the thing that I think about, and I think the Kings are just like kind of who they are. They're an average to above average team at best.
Mm-hmm.
They've got talent, but they've got a lot of deficiencies on the roster and chemistry wise. And the reason why I would say we could be talking differently in a week is because just a week ago we were talking differently.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Just a week ago, we're like, oh, man, they won 7-9. Man, look what they did against Denver with two of their starters down. And I'm not going to say we felt great about them, but we felt encouraged.
Yeah, yeah.
And then even the Sunday game, like against the Clippers, they played well. It was a tough loss or whatever. Now they've had two games, and I'm not saying they're not bad at all, but they've had two games, not 22 games, two games where they got waxed. And
man.
That can make people feel differently about them, understandably so. But it's still the same team that had Denver up by 15 the other day with two starters down or played against the Clippers a certain way. So it's like to when you talk about optimism or feel different, like they've shown that they'll probably play well next week.
But I thought they were going to play well last night.
I wasn't really sure. The Warriors are the Warriors just like they're better and a bad matchup. I never feel good about the Warriors though. Like the way they play, Steph Curry, the movement that they have on the offensive end, they defend really well. I just never have, like, never. And maybe that's just me, but I never really. When they do beat up on the Warriors or whatever, it's like a little bit of a relief. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, damn, this team can Steph can always go crazy and. GP2, who never hits any threes, ends up hitting threes against the Kings and all this other. So I never really feel comfortable. I looked at these next two games as like, get one of them.
If I had told you you held Stephen Curry and Jimmy Butler to 6 of 14 and 17 points, you felt like that's a W?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's like it's the thing that I always think about, right? Like, I hate to be so simplistic with it, but it is a make or miss league, right?
It is.
Like, because the strategy is sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Quentin Post and G. Santos and Draymond Green are going to bomb away and hit threes on it, I'm going to tip my hat.
Quentin Post can shoot it, though.
He can shoot it. He can. And he didn't even go crazy. Like, he went crazy in the first quarter. But this is what I've always said about the Warriors. All right, man, if I'm playing them, Draymond Green, you're going to have to average 32 because I'm going to give you every open look.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit, I can't take everything away.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. You're a good team. I can't take everything away. I can't take Steph away, sure. Jimmy, Clay when he was there, and just take Draymond away. Mm-hmm. I got to give up something. I'm giving up Dre. Dre hit shots last night. Dre mm-hmm. was, what was he, like 4 or 6 at one point from beyond the arc?
Mm-hmm. I think the problem is that everybody else did too. I mean, like we talked about, they had 5 guys, you know, Gary Payton, Steph, I mean, Draymond, Post, Guy Santos, and Buddy Hield went 16 of 26 from 3.
Outscored the Kings at the 3-point line, just those guys.
And I heard you guys talking about, like, the wide open looks and just not content. I get it.
Is that not, like, you play like Malik Monk out there. Is there not something to, like, at least pretending to close out?
Yeah, for
the
sure.
The amount of times that the Warriors got to just catch it, like spin the ball in their hand, look down, make sure their feet are set, get ready, and just nobody, nothing?
No, for sure. You got to halfway get out there, but at the end of the other aspect of that is sometimes that messes with the shooter. The fact that you ain't even coming out at me.
All right, well, hey, like, when they knock down as many as they did, like, you got to do something different.
No, I agree, but, and this is why I say make or miss, the Kings, to a certain degree, played the same defense the 2 wins against the Warriors. They trapped the hell out of Steph, mm-hmm. made Looney catch it right there or whoever and kick it to the other side mm-hmm. and let them shoot. And they missed. Mm-hmm. And here's what I always kind of push back on sometimes. It's like, oh, man, the Kings is locking up out there. That's how they beat them. Not really.
Sure.
They just missed shots. Sure. Like, even times like, oh, man, that defense turned up in the 4th quarter, kind of, but they got wide open looks and missed them.
It just feels like when it's back-to-back games of the exact same thing, it's like, all right, what? That's tough.
Well, just not showing up in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what it felt like. Like, you got to a certain point where you're like, they just don't look like they have any shot at all of winning this game.
Mm-hmm. I was on blowout, texting with you, I was on blowout alert early.
Yeah.
Just
looking,
I was like, the Warriors are moving faster, they're moving stronger, they're moving with more purpose out there on both sides of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this could get nasty.
Mm-hmm.
This could get nasty real quick. Credit to the Kings, I guess. They got back into the game.
They didn't roll over.
They
for
climbed
sure.
back into it, but at that point, it was already too much.
Yeah. We kept going back to that Doug Christie quote from after the Knicks game. That's not us. That's what he kept saying, and that's why I expected him to look better last night, and they just he didn't.
You just can't keep having those tough conversations.
And it can't keep being, oh, that the other team just played harder.
Oh, it's time for a closed door meeting. Oh, it's time for a players only meeting. Like we're
if last
past that.
Night, if you can't go get up to play last night, if you're not treating that game with the proper urgency last night, Golden State should not have wanted that game more than you did.
Agreed. But I'm gonna tell you, and there has to be an adjustment. I'm gonna tell you, if we up there, we locking up, we've given up Steph Curry. And not letting him cook, not letting Jimmy cook, and they kick it out to a wide open Draymond Green for 3. We'll live.
That's
we died. Yeah,
that's
yesterday.
Game but high we'll scorer, Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Say it right.
We'll live. That's what everybody. We'll live.
Sure.
And we died last night.
Yeah.
Because he killed us.
Yeah.
And Post can shoot the ball too. Geez, yeah. There was a couple of walk up threes from Buddy that I didn't like either, and mm-hmm. Moses Moody was hitting them too. Mm-hmm. Like they've got to give a little bit more effort on on the defensive end. On some closeouts, but
I think it's we gotta go. I'm with you guys on D'Lo and KC.
Right,
we'll continue this conversation 12:15. But D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and Joe and I, we're done for the weekend. For Joe Brazil, for James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We have been the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader until Monday at 10 a.m. Drink water. Be nice to people. Boo!
Aftershock Festival returns to Sacramento for its biggest year yet with Blink-182.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.